702.
The Love Connection.
Relationship coach Lee Mansell is my guest, and she joins me now to discuss intimacy. Hassan has just written to me on the WhatsApp line to say I'm going to SAFM. Hey, Hassan, it's not a problem. It's okay. It's okay, man. Come back when you're ready and enjoy. Lee, good evening to you. How are you doing?
I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
Yeah?
So excited.
I have been thinking about it too. And I am come to the conclusion that particularly us men have real issues with intimacy. I mean, see, Hassan is just bolted. Maybe that's not the reason why he went to SAFM. But tell me, what is intimacy?
So there are a couple of things that intimacy is for me. Number one is into me see.
Ah.
So into me see,
yeah.
And into, so I can only share with you once I've looked within me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to be intimate with myself in order to be intimate with you about me. And the other thing is, my boyfriend Marco and I had so many hours of discussions about this last night. So I hope I'm going to be able to pull on the pearls of wisdom that he brought as well, where he spoke about vulnerability and authenticity cannot be absent if you want to be intimate. Vulnerability and authenticity are really important bedfellows, if you want to call them,
yeah,
or marriage partners, or to be able to be intimate.
Give me a call and let me know what you understand intimacy to be. 011-883-0702. Colloquially, we speak of intimacy in a very, very one-dimensional way. We speak of it as though it is a polite way of saying that we have had sex. I have been intimate with so-and-so. And usually that would mean that we have had sexual relations with that person. But this conversation is going to try and show that there's more to intimacy than just sex. Talk to me about sex and intimacy, because I don't want to be sounding like we're saying that sex isn't intimacy.
I think there are types of sex that are not intimate.
Right.
So types of, like we spoke last week about sex addicts.
Yep.
Now, I'm sure there are times that a sex addict can be intimate, but it's something very terrifying for them. So they don't marry the emotion. Okay. So let's speak about what I believe are the different levels of intimacy.
Right.
And then we bring that with sexuality as being one of them, and then we can go through them. Is that good?
Right.
So I reckon there's spiritual intimacy, physical intimacy, and this was, Marco said this to me, and I said, as in sexual, he's no, physical, as in you make me a cup of coffee. You look at your love languages, that would fall under the physical. I thought, that's smart. Intellectual intimacy, financial intimacy, emotional intimacy, and then sexual intimacy. I'm sure there are others, but those are the ones that the groups of types of intimacy that I think we can chat about today.
What is it? So I get that it manifests in many different places in life, in finances, in sexual intercourse, in simple just being generous to each other in many different ways. It can manifest between two guys who share a brotherly love. It can manifest between two guys who share a romantic love, right? What is it? So in other words, let me just go a little deeper as to what my question is actually trying to get to. I always make this example. So I see how electricity manifests. So when the light bulb in the studio is on, I see how electricity manifests when we do get it, right? I see how electricity manifests in winter when I put on the heater. I see how electricity manifests when I'm ironing my shirt. I see how it manifests. But what is electricity is my question. If you understand where I'm trying to go. What is intimacy? What is that thing? And I hear what you say about the necessary ingredients of intimacy are authenticity and vulnerability. I hear you. 100% with you. because I agree with you. I don't think that it is possible to be intimate without being vulnerable and authentic. In my mind, authenticity and vulnerability are the male and female sides of this thing that we're talking about, intimacy. That it's androgynous like that. That intimacy is very androgynous. And I think that that's why most guys are uncomfortable with it, because of the androgyny of it, because of the fluidity of it, because of the fact that it requires those two qualities, authenticity and vulnerability, that we are taught not to be comfortable with, because then we're not mana, right? We're not the boys. We're not boykies. What is it, intimacy?
So when you ask that question, I got a vision. I see in visions. And it's when we take the masks down and we take the gloves off, that's what we're left with. That state that we're then able to share openly, safely, calmly, maybe not so calmly, but just safely with each other. That, yeah, almost when we drop what's expected of us, yeah, and we just show up as who we are. But I read this thing this week by Quentin Ducamp, who's one of my favorites. He's a Canadian psychologist, therapist. And he was speaking about intimacy. And he was saying that sometimes we'll get into a situation where we feel unsafe. Now, men, Mark, my boyfriend, was saying that you'll get a man to sing like a canary if you can help him feel appreciated and validated or valued. And therefore he feels comfortable enough to be able to be intimate. But I think that what Quentin also talks about is that I might not be able to make somebody feel safe because in that moment they're feeling their own insecurity. And they would then project that onto me. They would say it's me that's making them insecure or unsafe. Mm. But actually, the intimacy of that moment is allowing them to feel what is theirs already. So then, in speaking to my boyfriend, I said, "It's being intimate is a massive skill, because not only do I, as a man, have to acknowledge that, yes, I might be feeling insecure in sharing my intimacy right now and holding space for myself around my own feelings, I've then also got to think about my partner, male or female, and what their needs are, and be able to straddle those two qualities and then still be intimate. So it's a massive skill."
It sounds like you're saying to me that before you can be intimate with another person, you've got to be able to be comfortable with being intimate with yourself.
Absolutely. And that's on all those levels: spiritual, physical, intellectual, financial, emotional, and sexual.
It also sounds to me like you're saying that intimacy is a state of being, a state of mind that involves complete surrender. Well, some level of surrender from the performance of anything. It is not performing. It is being. Yeah? Mm. It is being in the most real way. So even warfare can be intimate. Even antagonism can be intimate. In fact, antagonism, warfare, all of those negative sort of states of being are usually the most intimate because we feel them so hard. Is that a possibility?
Yes, I think I love that you bring in that, because often we think that intimacy's got to do with love and
the positive.
And positives.
Yeah.
But
because you can be intimately angry, man.
Absolutely. I had that.
And intimately malicious, eh?
Yeah. I mean, one of my past relationships, I was really upset because this partner of mine had like rage issues, like he was really angry. And only when I left him did I realize, and I used to say, like, he can't be intimate with me, he can't be emotionally intimate with me. But only when we separated and I'd done some really deep inner work did I realize, but he was being intimate. He was sharing with me intimately what was scary for him. And because he was shouting it, I shut down and I couldn't hear it. So I'm not saying that it's okay to shout at people. I'm just saying that people being intimate can be very scary for people. And it's scary to hear and it's scary to do or be. And I love what you're saying there about it being a state of being where there's a level of surrender, a level of surrender, because I don't think you can completely surrender, because you need to be able to hold space, right, for yourself and each other. And a being, and I think in that being we speak about presencing, being at one in that moment, and being fluid enough to hold space for what arises.
So the surrender is also a negation of contrived realities, hence the authenticity, I suppose, that we've been talking about. It's the surrendering to what is without manipulating and choreographing it in such a way that it produces the outcome that you want, that you trust the process so much that you believe and understand that whatever is the outcome is the authentic, real manifestation of reality at that particular time, is what you're saying to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And that's a scary place for many people. And that's why intimacy, for many other reasons, but that's why intimacy has been reduced to sex.
Mm.
Because it's bigger than sex. But it's too big sometimes for us to handle, for us to be able to look at its awesomeness, its absolute hugeness, its bigness. That bigness really, really shows us our smallness, and we're uncomfortable with that.
Mm.
Yeah?
Mm.
I'm just throwing stuff as it comes to me, right?
I love it.
Because I'm doing some jazz here, right? But it feels to me that the reason why, one, we are unable to define it, to give it an easy sort of definition, is because it is so huge, it is so awesome, it is absolutely just big, right?
massive.
That its massiveness, its bigness in its presence shows us our smallness. And that's not cool. We don't like to feel small. And so we make it into something we can control, and we make it about sex.
I think also, Aubrey, intimacy, we need to travel. I don't know if you've heard this before. We need to travel from our mind to our hearts.
Mm.
And it's one thing being intimate intellectually. It's a whole other thing being intellectually, like speaking at least intimately from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And like I just say that and the whole world just goes a little bit smaller around me. Because to go into that space and say, like, I don't want to rock the boat, but this thing happened and I feel this about it, and I wonder if you and I can have a conversation about it because I don't feel comfortable how it's left me feeling. If I can use that as an example.
Yeah.
It's a very intimate thing to say. And I'm sure every single one of us has said something like that in our lives and been met with anger and resentfulness and defensiveness and loudness. And I hope that you've also, it's also been met with, oh, wow, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you feel that way. Yes, let's discuss this.
In that moment, we are being intimate, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah?
So when we acknowledge each other's vulnerability in a strong, authentic way, that's when there's intimacy between people.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So when someone's defensive and angry, that's not intimate. That's the one person might be authentic to who they are and being vulnerable about where they are, but it's not dropping into intimacy because the one person is defensive. So it's not being intimate.
Yeah.
I don't know if one person can be intimate and the other person can't be intimate, and then we call that intimacy. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that there's that saying, don't play the man, play the ball. And my boyfriend was like, what the hell is that? I'm a boogie boarder. I don't play ball sports.
Right.
And for those that don't know what that means, it's that if there's a difficulty within a relationship or within a situation, we don't take it out on each other.
Yeah.
We look for the solution. We look at what the problem is and we look for the solution. And I think that when we do that, when we play the ball, there's more opportunity for us to be intimate and really get down and honest with each other about what the problem is so that we can come together and figure out what the solution may be. And I think in that process, there's this gift of intimacy.
011-883-0702. Yeah. Siyabonga says, even how you guys are having this topic is so intimate. Oh, we're trying, Siyabonga, we're trying. And we'd love to hear your thoughts as to what you understand intimacy to be. And this is just my opinion, I think we vulgarize intimacy when we box it into just one category in which it can manifest. Because it's so huge, it's so pure, it's so powerful. But because it's so huge, such a huge penetrating and sometimes impenetrable reality, it scares us. But hell, once we let it loose, man, it achieves some great stuff. It is its own communicator. So give me a call. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are about what intimacy is. Victor is in Lanesia. Good evening to you, Victor.
Hello, how are you, bro?
Very good, Victor. What's on your mind, my brother?
Oh, I just wanted to have a problem with the conversation or whatever. But what I wanted to say, to add on it, is what I think is intimacy is maybe is a vulgar thing whereby we can say it's a direct way of saying people are doing whatever it is. I don't know if I'm wrong there. Let me ask you another question, perhaps. Would I be wrong there for saying?
Sure, Victor. You've said so many things, but what you're saying is that it is a direct way of expressing what is being done
between maybe two people or maybe more or whatever, but maybe starting from two people who are doing it directly. Am I wrong there?
I don't know, and I don't think we're looking for right or wrong. We're definitely looking for the conversation, but We're not looking for right or wrong.
Okay, I'm pointing out maybe that's what I think. It will be a direct thing between two people or more.
Victor, let me hear what our guest has to say, but thanks very much for your call. Much appreciated.
I wonder if a group could be intimate. I think a group could, if I think of yes, I think it's between one and two people, but I think a group could also be intimate. If I think of like a family dynamic, in our family, we have family meetings, and then we sit and we discuss a topic, and the kids get to share.
Oh, Hassan is back. Hassan, we love you, man. Don't go away. Stay with us. Hassan is back. He says, intimacy is romance, says Hassan. Ah, Hassan, you couldn't leave us if you tried. We love you. Stay with us. Let's have this intimate conversation. Yeah? You were saying?
I'm so glad he came back. Victor was talking about it being between two people, but I think, or more, and I think he's right. I think we can be intimate with more than two people. I think, like, my family environment, we have family meetings, and the kids and Marco and I, we sit and we have a discussion around boundaries or whatever, and we discuss it as a family. So yes, I think intimacy, but we can have an intimate discussion at the office. We can have an intimate discussion around my inability to fulfill this KPI based on my key performance indicator, based on my burnout status.
Let's take a call from Monica in Soweto. Mamuruti, good evening to you. What is intimacy?
Good evening to you, Aubrey, and your guest.
Yeah.
Yeah, a very interesting topic, Aubrey.
Mm.
Yeah, we must get this right as a nation or as the world. Then in this place, the world will be a better place to live in.
Yeah.
Aubrey, I think intimacy is also a place of healing, a place of celebration, you know, celebrating the day, celebrating the person that you are with. It's also a place of completion where we complete one another. We don't compete. It is a place of two people becoming one. A healing of past hurts, a healing of old scars. You know, where you are vulnerable, you are able to not hide them. I think, and I've also realized that a couple that is intimate and that is, it is a couple that if you can go to them as the third person, you also feel welcome. But if they're fighting, they have this energy that that repel you. But once, if this couple is intimate in the bedroom, that aura comes to you. They are welcoming you. You can see that these people,
there's a relaxedness about their relationship that is not based on that is not contrived. It's not put on. There's a real genuineness there.
There is no insecurity. And another thing the Bible says, we must not go to bed whilst we are angry. Because I think there is this magic when people, they wait for the next day and they've resolved their problems. Unlike two people going to bed and fight and use the sex to fight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because sex can be used for different things, yeah?
Yeah, it can be a weapon to withholding or, you know, saying the wrong things to the person, you know, just trying to destroy that person. I still say sex is a beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing. Mamuruti in Soweto, Monica in Soweto says sex is a beautiful thing. Couldn't agree more, huh?
Amen
to that, Mamuruti. Oh, and the people of God shall say amen to that. Look at Bra Chris here in the studio. All right, so what is it? I mean, we've described it. We've alluded to it. We've taken pictures of where it manifests itself, and sex is one that keeps coming up. But I keep saying that we diminish it if we only keep it at the level of sex. Yes, it appears, and very strongly so, during sex, when sex is intimate, but we're hearing that sex can be can sometimes be intimate.
Yeah, devoid of intimacy.
Yeah,
yeah.
So what is it?
What if intimacy is?
So let me tell you what Matabo in Mohlakeng says. He says, good morning, Remasa. Or good evening, Remasa. Says, for me, intimacy is when two sets of eyes locking and their smiles across. Whoa, that's some pretty romantic stuff. I think you got that out of Hassan's book there. NK says, the very definition of intimacy is ambiguous in its meaning. It's loosely spoken, so superficially understood by most folks. And in my view, simple, true friendship, just friendliness, can be energy of intimacy. Absolutely. A deep level of privacy and being personal is intimacy. Simply hint at something can be intimacy. It's a state of mind, of energy, intensity. Sex is a product of intimacy, not the other way around. NK. Nice one, yeah?
Yeah, because if I think of myself, Aubrey, as a coach and a counselor, my clients are intimate with me every single day.
Yep.
I'm in the game of intimacy. I'm in the business and purpose of creating safe space for people to share who they are from the core of who they are without judgment.
Yep.
So intimacy is a...
there's another thing. The non-judgmentality of intimacy.
Because you can only be intimate if you think you might not be judged. It's very hard to be vulnerable in a space where you think you might be judged.
Mm.
Or if you feel like I might be judged, but what I need to share is more important than actually. So you're therefore able to hold space. You've been intimate with yourself enough to know that actually what I have to share here is more important than me worrying about whether the other person is going to judge me or not. So intimacy comes back again to being able to be intimate with yourself before you can be intimate with another. But then there's also being intimate with God. Is that the tripod model that I devised, where it's authentically connecting to God or that which is sacred for you, authentically connecting to yourself, and then authentically connecting to your tribe. Those three ways of authentically connecting. And that's where that meeting place is then intimacy.
Somebody says to me, NK, who said that a whisper or a shared joke, yeah, can be a very intimate thing. So intimacy also speaks of sharing, right?
Mm.
So it appears we've got authenticity, we've got vulnerability, we've got sharing, we've got non-judgmentality. I'm just looking at all of the different components of what I hope will be a definition by the end of this conversation, right? Give us a call, 011-883-0702. We're asking what intimacy is, yeah? And we know that it shows up in many different ways. Almost every human engagement can be put together by an intimacy. We know that it doesn't always happen in the most positive way. We know that it doesn't always, or let me backtrack there about the positive and the negative. I think that intimacy is always positive.
Mm.
Okay. I think that intimacy is always positive. What may not be positive is our state of mind at the time that it shows up.
Mm.
Does it make sense?
Mm.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
Boom! Boom! Because that just came to me right now. By the way, give us a call at 011-883-0702. Because I think that intimacy is always positive. Always.
The outcome is positive.
Sure.
But maybe the feeling of while we're going through it might feel
Negative
or but uneasy.
But that's because of a particular state of mind at a particular time. But it, self, intimacy, is always positive.
Yeah, the outcome is always positive. Yeah.
All right. Give us a call. 011-883-0702. Afternoon, Braobs. To me, intimacy, it's allowing your partner to see you, to see your emotional scars and physical scars and the attempt of healing those traumas you have been hiding all your life. Even some of the secrets about you, your parents didn't know, but when you are into the intimacy mode, you being present itself outside of the physical. Yeah. Healing is coming up again. Yeah. Healing is coming up again in the whole conversation of intimacy. Talk to me about courage and intimacy.
Mm, I love that. I wrote a blog a few years ago where I had this vision of David and Goliath. And I don't know, as a kid, I always thought that David was like really confident when he stood there with a sling and he threw the rock.
Oh, the biblical sling.
Biblical.
What? Yeah.
And then I was shown a vision that David wasn't necessarily confident at all. He just picked up a stone and was praying to God, like, please help me kill this big man. And when we bring intimate, I think it's the same thing. I think that a lot of people think I must feel confident about what I have to say and then I can be intimate. But I think that true intimacy calls on us to crawl through the insecurity and with just an iota of courage to be able to share intimately what's going on for us.
So you're saying to me, if I understand you correctly, that intimacy involves the staring down of your fears.
Amen. Absolutely.
That intimacy involves the acknowledgement of your fears. And I suppose that's the part that is about vulnerability.
Hmm?
That it is an acceptance of the fact that at that moment, or it's the acceptance of your insignificance. And being comfortable, not comfortable, absolutely uncomfortable, being in that uncomfortable space, but trusting the process.
Mm. Mm.
Trust. It's coming. Mm. Give us a call, 011-883-0702. Why is it important for us to understand intimacy? Why is it important?
I think I love what Monica said about it healing, you know, it being a healing and a completion and a celebration. And I think that I absolutely agree with her that the more intimate we are as a society, as families, as couples, as families, as communities, as societies, as our nations, as the world, I think that the more courage we have to be intimate with ourselves, with God and others, the stronger and healthier societies and families we will build. I also think, like in my business, there's one thing, one slogan that we have is secrets keep us sick.
Mm.
And it takes a lot of courage to be intimate enough to share someone's secrets, and not everybody goes to therapy to be able to do that. And often in a coupledom, that's where we share secrets. And if in sharing those secrets, we're halving the load, we're offering each other respite, you know, from the heavy burdens of self-judgment.
Compassion?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just writing all down all these words that are coming through. So absolutely being able to, like, some of the most intimate moments of my life have been where I have shared with a partner or a friend or my counselor or therapist my shame, something that I felt ashamed about. And the compassion and another perspective that I've been gifted with by this person, a friend, a family member, a lover, or a coach, has been so life affirming for me that I won't say I rushed to be intimate, but I look forward to when it presents itself and I'm given being given the opportunity to be intimate.
Let's talk to Mariah in Sandton. Hi, Mariah. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Aubrey, and your guest Lee. And Aubrey, I've got a question that is not entirely sort of like, you know, positive and all lights and so forth. The thing is that in this day and age, there are a lot of relationships that are short-term, especially if you look at online dating and people kind of like, I don't know, meeting and not really pursuing the relationship. I'm just wondering, you know, to what extent does one get intimate in terms of really being open about yourself and the things that you feel vulnerable about? If you don't know how it's going to end, and then you feel a little bit kind of depleted, you know, and like you've aired your dirty laundry. For want of a better term. I mean, to me, there's always a sense of like, you know, be on the back foot, so to speak, because you don't quite know how things are going to end.
I think it's impossible to be intimate while you're insecure about the environment in which you find yourself. So if there's no feeling of trust, if you don't trust the environment, if you don't trust yourself in the environment, you don't trust the person that you are with in the environment, I think it's very difficult to be intimate in that situation, because as we've already heard, that intimacy requires a certain level of vulnerability and a certain level of authenticity. And if you don't feel like that environment is authentic, that it is safe, it is trustworthy, I think most people would find it very hard to be intimate in that situation. And if indeed you continue with a particular form of intimacy, it's probably not intimacy, it's probably just a performance. But I want to hear what Lee has to say. Lee?
Mariah, thank you so much for calling in. It's such a valuable insight that you're saying there around dating and how do we share ourselves with vulnerability. There's a brilliant, I think it's a Soul Sunday interview between Brené Brown and Oprah. You'll be able to look it up online. And it's called 6 People You Should Not Be Vulnerable With. And Brené Brown speaks about the types of people that we should not be vulnerable with, that intimacy is not a good idea to encourage with those in those 6 types of people or 6 types of situations. But for me, when you're dating and you're meeting someone, Aubrey, there is, because I recently have gone through, you know, dating and newly after being divorced and everything. Mm. And there was, I had to hold my intention was to meet somebody long term. That was what I wanted. I wanted to get married again. I wanted to have a long-term relationship. And so when I met people, I spoke to them as if they possibly are that person.
Right.
So I created that safety for myself in order to, and then their levels of sharing, right? I mean, I don't lay out everything right in the beginning. I test the waters and I shared certain parts of my life and my story. And I did like a test as to how they're going to respond to that, right? And the more intimate I got, or the more intimate my sharing got, the more uncomfortable people got, the quicker the relationship ended.
Right.
Which is exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be messing around with people who are not part of my future.
Right.
But I had to be very compassionate with myself in that process, because it's lonely and it's tough and it's scary going and putting yourself out there, hoping that this is a person that you can build your life with. And then they land up not being. But I started going, well, oh, thank goodness, because I'd rather, what's that lovely meme? Rather say goodbye to the boyfriend so that your husband can show up.
Right.
And so when I'm speaking now specifically, and I'm sure I can speak for a lot of my clients that I've helped through this process, that when they've been authentic and real with themselves and they know what they want and they know where they're going and they're able to share that intimately, It is a little bit scary, but they're kind of curious and creative around what the outcome could be. Where we were speaking about surrender, you know, around intimacy, because life might just surprise you.
Life might just surprise you. And I think it is. That's what intimacy is. It's trusting that life will surprise you in a good way, isn't it? It's trusting that, because, you know, we need to have a conversation about the different ways of knowing.
Mm.
Because we tend to limit the idea of intimacy and confining it only to sex. We sometimes limit knowing to just the intellect. Hell, man, the stuff I know through my skin. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But I don't have the science for it, like I always say. I don't have the science. I can't prove it to you. I know.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think that there's a very strong faith element to the intimacy conversation, which is perhaps an element that is not subject to the space of predictability, certainty in a particular way. There's a certainty of its own kind that you need to surrender to versus the kind of certainty that comes from knowing that, you know, if I have 50 rands in the bank account, I can draw it, kind of certainty. I know I'm babbling a bit. Let me go to the line. Sebo is in, or Sebo in Turfantine. Hi, it's Sebo.
Hi, Aubrey.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, my view on intimacy, and I stand to be corrected.
Sure.
My view is very simple. It's something that you build over a period of time.
Nothing
overnight. And much as it has some elements to it, like you have your sexual intimacy, but we also know that you have sexual intercourse on false pretenses.
Sure.
Or transactional sex.
Sure.
Which doesn't build any intimacy at all.
Yeah.
And at the same time, also much as we know that intimacy has to be connected to love, loving someone.
Mm.
But the reality of the matter is, you can love someone and lack intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you remember in the olden days, our parents used to
leave
the rural areas and come to Joburg to work.
Yep.
Yeah. Our mothers loved them so much, but there's no intimacy.
Yep.
So intimacy is something that you build over, it really is hard work. It's something that you work on. You build it, both of you, with open cards.
Yep.
It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just fall from the sky, you know?
Yep.
That's my view.
No. Excellent stuff. Sebo in Turfantine, much appreciated. This intimacy thing is deep, bro. Eh?
Amazing. I love this conversation.
And I love the way that we've allowed it to unfold, because I think it's one of those conversations that doesn't have a full stop. You know, it's got an ellipsis.
Yeah.
It's not a Finish and Clark conversation. It's an ongoing conversation. What do you think of what Sebo has just got to say?
I love it. And if I speak to the ellipsis, is that even when we're intimate with somebody and we're to still remain open to what the outcome can be, even at the end of that conversation where you were intimate, still take a breath and allow there to be spaciousness within the conversations. I love what he was saying about working on it together. You build it over time and you play open cards with each other.
I loved what NK had to say, that shared joke can be a very, very intimate thing. Just knowing that, you know, we got this connection kind of thing can be a very, very intimate thing. I want you, as we come to a close, I'm asking this question for the third time. Why is it important for us to understand intimacy? And I just the words of Mamuruti, of Monica, just keep ringing in my head about how the world could be a better place if we appreciated intimacy for what it is, at least started to appreciate it for more than how it shows up.
So maybe a little story. 16 years ago, I came into recovery and from drugs and alcohol, and I sat with my psychiatrist, and it was a bone crunching conversation, Aubrey. And what she helped me to realize is that there wasn't much substance to me. I'd had an extraordinary amount of trauma that I'd experienced as a kid, and I'd built this persona around pleasing other people. Because if I could please other people, then I could possibly stop the trauma from happening.
Mm-hmm.
But as I became an adult and I came into recovery in my early 30s, there wasn't much substance to me. And so over the last 16 years, I've done a deep dive into who I am, and I've become real and authentic and vulnerable with myself and with others around who I am. And I've built a vocabulary of what it means to be me. And so when you say, why must we be intimate? And you're pressing me to say one sentence, then I say, so that I can be fully alive. Because I wasn't truly fully alive before I was able to be intimate with myself, with God, which is my high power, and with others.
So that you could be fully alive, eh? Phew, that is... Yeah, so that you could be fully alive. Because very often we're just going through the motions, right? We're just performing. And when we enter the realm of intimacy, we're fully alive because we are in a dangerous but safe space at the same time.
Mm.
Wow. Lee, I've really enjoyed this conversation, man. I really have.
I think we must do intimacy point two, number two.
Absolutely. I think it's a very, very powerful conversation. And I dare say it was intimately done, wasn't it?
Yeah, I felt that.
Yeah?
My heart is really full. Thank you.
And I want to thank everybody that participated in this conversation, because you've all been very intimate with us. And I suppose the intimacy that comes from the surrender, from the authenticity, creates deeper connections, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to talking about more stuff with you. How do people get in touch with you?
My WhatsApp number is 079-525-8991. And then they can get hold of me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn under Lee Joy Inspires. Thank you for tonight. This was such
wonderful.
a beautiful day to end my day. Thank you.